This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we focus on the greatest professional fishermen in the world, the men who make up the Bassmaster Elite Series, and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the Bass Pro Shops Open Series, and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops. Best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/bassradio. Or on Twitter at Bass_Nation and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio. Just hit the home button and click on Bassmaster Radio. Today we get to learn more about our Toyota Bassmaster Texas Fest champion, Brandon Polinek, out of Hayden, Idaho. Polinek caught 24 pounds, 7 ounces of bass on Wednesday's opening round, and he followed that up with bags of 23.2 and 24.7 over the next couple of rounds and came back after the off day on Saturday with a nice little 21.12 bag on Championship Sunday. His four-day total, 93.12. I said it'd be a 100-pound tournament, so I come up a little bit short on that deal, but he holds off a late charge by California pro Brent Eiler, who ends up winning the truck. For his big bass of the tournament, Ayler ended up with 91.12 for the tournament. Brandon, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
I'm great. And, you know, one thing I had to mention is you talked about the tournament being a 100-pound mark tournament, and I just wanted to clarify that it should have been a 100-pound mark tournament. I just did not execute, so I apologize for letting you down on day three there, because I lost a couple giants that would have put me over that century mark.
Well, I'm just saying, though, you say a lack of execution. I say you're fishing with thread. I mean, you're out. This is Sam Rayburn. You're catching 8 and 9 pound bass, and you're fishing with 15 pound braid and a 10 pound leader. I mean, what are you, nuts with a Nico rig? I mean, we fish for 2 pound smallmouth with that stuff.
Not all of them came on that rig. I landed some pretty incredible fish catches on that rig last week. I mean, with 10 pound Tatsu, that was incredible on film. You know, 8 pounders stuck in trees for 3 minutes long that I got out. I lost some fish that I probably shouldn't have lost, and I also caught some fish that I probably shouldn't have caught, so I can't complain.
Yeah. And it was good to see a little old school, man, with the 10-inch Zoom Old Monster Worm. I mean, I love that thing on Gunnersville, not too far from where I live, and that's just a favorite deal of mine. And plum color, a half-ounce VMC tungsten weight, you know, pegged, and a 5-aught heavy-duty VMC extra-wide gap hook. And that's a little bit old school, you know, going that way with the big worm, and that's great to see that's performing.
It is. Sometimes you just got to go with the meat and taters and just, you know, keep it simple. That, you know, the crazy thing is that's what they wanted that week. I could not catch them doing anything, you know, fancy. I never really got on a good crankbait bite. It was just a big worm, that Nico rig, and a Stormarashi topwalker, and that was pretty much my 1-2-3 punch.
That's nice. The kid from Idaho says taters. We'll get to that a little bit later on, but let's say, you know, one of the things that's very tough for guys to do, you had to do, you could have caught 103-pounders probably, it sounded like. You know, if it was one of those events where there's no limit and they just keep piling them up, maybe that's what you do. But you knew you needed 5 big ones, and you had to get away from that, and you didn't even bother going ahead and putting a 15-pound limit in a boat and then going looking for big fish like a lot of us do. Just talk about that decision to kind of know that I'm going to leave a bunch of smaller fish, 3-pounders. I'm going to leave those fish, and I'm going to go looking for big ones.
My game plan all started kind of based around practice, and probably even before practice without me even consciously knowing about it. I just felt like this tournament was going to be one deep. And after practice, I kind of felt like I clarified that a lot, where during practice, you could get tons and tons of bites shallow, like you're talking about, you know, just hundreds of bites if you really worked hard at it and were in the right areas. But I just did not get the consistency of the big bites. And when I moved out deep, it was like you found one of two things. You either found a school that had hundreds of fish in it, but those were always like 1.5, 2 pounders. And then there were these rogue kind of solo onesie, twosie fish. And those were the big ones. You know, those were the 6, 7, 8, 9 pound fish. And that's what I wanted to catch. And I kind of got it dialed in practice, where I was able to look at my Lake Master charts and really drive around staring at my side imaging and pick these fish off and figure out where they're living. And I had enough areas where I felt like if I could cycle through a good portion of them, I would have a really good shot at catching a decent bag, or at least getting one or two of those big bites. And in the process, I would be able to fill my limit. And that was kind of going into the first day of the tournament. I didn't know, you know, if I was going to catch 10, 12 pounds, or if I was going to get a big bite and have 16, 17, or have multiple bites and have over 20.
Yeah.
And it worked out that as the tournament progressed, that bite continued to get better and better.
Brandon Polinick with us, Rigid Industries Pro, Skeeter Yamaha Pro, Cabela's Pro as well. Some great, great sponsors there as well. And by the way, some of your, you know, I love some of the ads that you shot for what Rigid Industries. I mean, those lights, the way they light up your truck and everything else. You got some of the coolest looking gear out there, man, from your rig to the, you know, to the truck, the haul rig and everything else. And that's some pretty good stuff.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I take pride in that. Spent a lot of time, you know, making sure that when we do those truck builds and the boats and the wraps and everything, that everything kind of flows together and looks nice. And yeah, you know, I want to be able to stand out a little bit.
Yeah,
when we're out there on the road.
You know, you're one of your first bass. I think your first bass might have been your biggest bass or one of your biggest bass of the tournament. And Ayler had caught that 9-1 on day one. Were you surprised that the 9-1 held up for him? That because it just seemed like there were so many. There wasn't an 11 pounder being caught, but there were so many 7 and 8 pounders being caught by those of you at the top of the leaderboard.
I really was surprised that hit that 9-1 held up. I figured there would at least be a couple more 9 pounders weighed in, you know, and being a 9-1, he barely squeaked over that 9 pound mark. And I thought for sure that it was going to get broke during that week. And I really thought that, you know, we would see more of those upper 20 and even several, you know, 30 pound class bags. I think we caught it in a time where there was almost too much going on. The fish were so spread out between deep and shallow that it was hard for guys to really just hunker down on the spot and catch just, you know, a mega bag of them.
Yeah. Of course, you get the qualification for the Classic. Not that you needed this. Now, I know you wrote a piece.
Don't say a word.
I won't say a word. I know you don't care. You don't care where you are in the AOI stage. That's an article you wrote yesterday. It's at Bassmaster.com or earlier this week at Bassmaster.com. But is it kind of neat to know, regardless of your spot in the standings, is it neat to know that, you know, I'm in 2018 Hartwell, I'm in, that thing's over with, and you don't even have to think about that the rest of the year?
Oh, absolutely. I don't even know if that has registered in my mind yet, because I'm so used to, like, not knowing and always feeling like I haven't qualified and, like, I really need to catch them. And, I mean, maybe purposely I'm not even trying to think about that, you know, so that I keep fishing like I'm behind.
Yeah.
But to know that I have that spot locked in, especially that as soon as we finish up Dardanelle, we're pretty much on a 4-tournament smallmouth smack fest.
Yeah.
That gets me pretty excited.
Oh, yeah.
Because, if I was to look at the schedule when it came out last year at the beginning of this year, Rayburn probably would not have been one on my list that I said, I think I can go and win that event.
Right.
But the 4 out of the next 5, I probably would have had on that list. So that kind of allows me to be able to gamble a little bit if I need to and know that I'm locked into the Classic. You know, it just elevates the fun factor, I would say.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to pick up from there with the smallmouth, largemouth, southern swing, and then to the north as you guys will head up there after Dardanelle. We'll get to that. Plus, we'll learn a little bit more about Brandon Polinek and how does a guy from Idaho become one of the studs on the Bassmaster Tour and the Elite Series Tour. We'll get to all of that as well. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio here on the SB Nation Radio Network. The Bassmaster Elite Series is coming to Russellville, Arkansas. Come watch the best bass anglers in the world weigh in their catch from Lake Dardanelle. And while you're there, explore the free outdoor expo and interactive display. There'll be free boat demos, prizes, giveaways, and more. It's fun for the whole family. Be at the GoPro Bassmaster Elite, presented by Econo Lodge, June 2nd through 5th at Lake Dardanelle State Park. Expo opens at noon on Saturday and Sunday. Visit Bassmaster.com for details.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament. Hosted by Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and former Bassmaster Classic champion Davey Height. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer, plus special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Streaming on Bassmaster.com, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time and simulcast on ESPN3.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over half a million outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on ESPN Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, and we are talking with Brandon Polinek, one of the young guns, man. There's a bunch of them. There are guys younger than him that are winning tournaments. And he just adds to it another 20-something getting the victory. It'll be a 20-something for a little bit longer anyway, and he joins us now. Right, Brandon? I mean, you see these guys, Dustin Connell and Jordan Lee and the list goes on and on, the guys that have won early, Jacob Wheeler, and it's you feel like you're a veteran of this deal at 29.
It is crazy to think that, I mean, at 29 – I almost feel like a veteran. The sport has really became a young man's sport. And I think a lot of that goes credit to Bass and the high school and the college programs and the efforts that they put forth into those programs and how much time they spent building those, because those are really the building blocks for the future generations to come. And those guys that you mentioned are just proof of those.
Yeah.
You know, you look at guys like Jordan Lee that have had phenomenal seasons, him and his brother included, on the Elite. And, you know, where Jordan goes and wins the Classic this year, I mean, there's, you know, he was super close in his first one to winning. So, you know, it just gives kudos to those guys that have went through those programs and the companies that have supported it. So,
yeah,
kind of crazy to think this is my seventh year on tour, and at 29, I'm like an old guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we had Ike on, after he had talked about the R word, he actually brought up, you know, retirement a little bit. He said if he had won that Classic, he might have retired after Conroe. And I think a couple of weeks ago, we had KVD and Greg Hackney on, and they're like, they feel ancient. They're like, you know, these guys here, mm-hmm. I mean, how do we compete with these guys now? But certainly those guys have a lot of good fishing in them as well and have been very, very competitive. I got to ask you this question. We were talking about the smallmouth, and you're getting fired up, you know, going north when that time comes and you get into smallmouth country. And I live in a transitional area because I live in Tennessee. We have great smallmouth and tremendous largemouth fishing here in Tennessee. And I also am a big fan of the smallmouth. But let me ask your opinion. What is more difficult, a northern guy fishing the reservoirs for largemouth bass in the south, or a southern guy going north to fish these, you know, big natural lakes for smallmouth? Who has the advantage? Who has the disadvantage?
I would say it's tougher for the southern guy to go chase smallmouth.
Mm-hmm.
Just really? Because not from a angler versus angler skill level, but more of an understanding of the species of the smallmouth bass, because he is a very nomadic and interesting creature. And I think a guy that lives up north and just gains confidence in catching those and different techniques to catch those fish has an advantage big time going up there. And, you know, most of those guys that fish for smallmouth, a lot of the more inland lakes and smaller lakes around there are largemouth type of fisheries. So you get kind of a little bit of a taste of both, where a guy that lives deep in the heart of the South probably doesn't do that much smallmouth fishing. And I think almost more than anything, it's the clear water that gets them a lot of times.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, I am one of the things that I found when I moved south was how guys were horrified by clear water. They just felt like, I mean, they just clear water would just bother them to no end. And I grew up fishing Cayuga Lake in the Finger Lakes. I mean, that was my water. We could see, you know, we could see where those piles of weeds were and so on, and fish in those pockets and everything like that. So I was kind of used to that. I had a hard time moving south now almost 20 years ago. Dealing with muddy water and stained water and thinking that, well, there's no way that those bass can see that lure. And then also reservoirs is something that I think it takes a while to learn reservoirs. They start talking about current and what do you mean that they're pulling water in the afternoon and that's why the Gunnersville fish get fired up in the afternoon? I don't understand what you're talking about. You know, I'm used to fishing the northern lakes. So I think there are pluses and minuses on each side.
I agree 100%.
All right, you need to tell us how a kid from Idaho ends up slugging away down here with the Elite Series guys fishing for these green bass especially, and we know there's smallmouth up there, but a lot of folks, when they think Idaho, they're thinking, you know, river runs through it, fly fishing, you know, all that kind of stuff. How is it that you become, and I don't know that anybody else is from up there in that neck of the woods that's been on the Elite Series tour, how is it that you got your love for this kind of bass fishing and that you've been able to excel in it?
I think a lot of the reason is the versatility or the diversity of the fishes that we have that create the versatility. You know, the only other guy on the Elites that's up near me is Luke Clausen. Mm-hmm. He actually lives up in the Pacific Northwest with me. And it just comes down to all the different conditions that we see. You know, early in the spring, we get a lot of our snow melt that happens. And so a lot of our lakes flood. They become dirty, muddy. So we catch them shallow flipping, spinner bait and square bill, you know, just your old school shallow water techniques and your basic stuff. And then as the year continues to go on, that water begins to clear up, the water stabilizes, and by the middle of summer, you can see 20 or 25 feet in the majority of our lakes. We've got really healthy grass and rock populations, reservoirs, natural lakes, and we've got largemouth and smallmouth. So you get schooled on a lot of different techniques, and we have a true four seasons. So you really get to see the fish reacting to a lot of different weather conditions, water conditions. And I would say really the only thing we don't have is like a true deep ledge fishing deal, you know, like a Kentucky Lake or a Gunnersville, where those largemouth get stacked up out on ledges. That's about the only thing that we're missing. Other than that, there's pretty much a scenario in Idaho that applies to every scenario I've seen out across the country.
Yeah, and of course we you know, we know about, and I can't even say the name of it. Coeur d'Alene. How do you say that lake? I mean, is I get it right?
Coeur d'Alene.
Okay.
Coeur d'Alene. Yeah.
Coeur d'Alene. So Coeur d'Alene. We know about Coeur d'Alene because it's been ranked very highly in the Bassmaster Top 100. You know, so we know that there's that kind of water. But man, you know, I figured by now you'd have you know, like a lot of the guys have kind of moved themselves into the South or into Alabama or Texas or something like that. And you're still dragging that boat back and forth across the Rockies a couple of times a year, right?
Yeah, a couple times. I bought a big trailer this year, so I got a 43-foot toy hauler. I haven't been home since January this year. Kind of my home away from home, but it's just too beautiful up there to move away from. And my whole family's still located, you know, pretty much all around there.
Nice.
So I don't know if I'll ever will leave there.
Well, you're giving it a good name for bass fishermen. That's for sure. Congratulations on the big win, a great win. 4 years coming. It won't be 4 years till the next one. I'm pretty sure of that. And you're doing good in the AOI. I'm not going to tell you. You know. Come on. You really do know, right? I mean, you don't. Don't tell me you don't.
I know
you
that have, I'm doing you know. Good this year because I've had a really good year other than one tournament at Okeechobee.
Yeah.
So I know that I'm doing good, but not physically not looking at it.
Good for
it's
you.
It's a mental mindset thing for me. It keeps me hungry, and I just always have a sense of feeling behind. Nope. And I think I make better decisions that way.
Yeah. Well, good for you. All right. Appreciate you, Brandon. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you. That's Brandon Polinek, our guest today. What a good guy, man. What a good kid. All right. Kid. He's 29. He's older than half the guys we've talked to this year. All right. We're going to get a break in here. We'll come back with more right after this. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio here on the SB Nation Radio Network.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over half a million outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament. Hosted by Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and former Bassmaster Classic champion Davey Height. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer, plus special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Streaming on Bassmaster.com, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time and simulcast on ESPN3.
The Bassmaster Elite Series is coming to Russellville, Arkansas. Come watch the best bass anglers in the world weigh in their catch from Lake Dardanelle. And while you're there, explore the free outdoor expo and interactive display. There'll be free boat demos, prizes, giveaways, and more. It's fun for the whole family. Be at the GoPro Bassmaster Elite, presented by Econo Lodge, June 2nd through 5th at Lake Dardanelle State Park. Expo opens at noon on Saturday and Sunday. Visit Bassmaster.com for details.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I want to thank Brandon Polinek for being in. What a great guy. What a great kid. He's an old man. He's 29. All of the other guys that are winning now are 25, 26, 27. He's 29. It feels like an old man. Joining us now, a guy, he's not an old man, but he's a very energetic guy. He is the MC for all the Elite Series events and the Classic. Has a great fishing show, Facts of Fishing, just won some kind of a trophy for that thing as well. He is Dave Mercer, of course. Dave, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Very good to be on here. I mean, following Brandon Polinek, I mean, I feel like I announced him. Yeah. I mean, he wins and I announce it.
Right.
I feel like this show just took a downward spiral in a very quick moment here.
Well, I feel like we're all Canada radio from where that guy is from. My gosh, I mean, I was looking at the line of where Hayden, Idaho is, and I'm from upstate New York. I grew up on the shores of Lake Ontario, so I know where Canada is. And I looked at that line, and that's north of you. I mean, that if you look at it go across, I mean, he would be pretty far up. He'd be a couple 2-3 hour drive north of Toronto, probably where Hayden, Idaho is. So. It's all Northerners, I think, today.
Yeah, no, that's why me and Brandon are such good buddies. I mean, he's an honorary Canadian. But, I mean, he lives, the joke about it is, it shows you how big Canada is. I mean, it would literally take me about 40 hours to drive to his house. But you're right. He is actually, if you went laterally, you know, he's about 3 hours north of me. So, he's the one little part of America north of Canada, and thank God for it.
Yeah, yeah. I was telling people we were trying to figure out the last time a Canadian hockey team was in the Stanley Cup Finals, and it was Vancouver in 2011 against the Boston Bruins, my beloved Boston Bruins. And I had to explain to the listeners, I may have made this up, I'm not sure, but I had to explain to my listeners in Alabama that Canadians really kind of hate Vancouver. They think Vancouver's like in the U.S. They really don't like. Am I lying about that? I always got the impression Canadians don't like Vancouver.
Well, it all depends on what part of Canada. I mean, if you're over in the western side, they do hate Vancouver, but it is unanimous that nobody hates any part of Canada more than the part I'm from. You know, you talk to Canadians all across. Toronto is, you know, it's basically like the New York of Canada, let's say. And, you know, people just get angry. But what, let's not hate each other for any...
Yeah.
That's one of the weirdest things humans do. You know what I mean? Like, you see people, you see those bumper stickers, those Calvin and Hobbes bumper stickers, and a little cartoon character peeing on a particular vehicle's logo or another team's logo. Really, if your life's that good that that's what you hate, we're all pretty lucky, really, when you think about it.
That's a good point. Dave Mercer with us, and coming off the Toyota Bassmaster Texas Fest, and we'll get to that in a moment, but you uttered a line that is going to live in infamy, I think. I'm not sure, maybe not, but I watched the video, "Can I be your little baby calf?" I mean, this is going to go down as one of the great Dave Mercer lines ever. You were with some cowboy, you were wearing some big old hat, and you were getting roped by this guy, and you said to the guy, "Can I be your little baby calf?" Dave, you don't say that, man. You're from Canada. You don't say, "Can I be your little baby calf?"
Don't blame my country, first of all. I mean, my country would be
you guys
the
are
first
tough
to tell
up there.
You.
You're tough.
Do not blame the country on the stuff that utters out of my mouth. But, I mean, I just thought, hey, this guy ropes calves. We don't have calves. Can I be your little baby calf? It doesn't make you a bad guy, does it?
No, I guess it doesn't. And, you know, we've had Mike and Jerry McInnes on the show now. And talk about the direction of some of the stuff that you do. Are you just freelancing these different features that you do during live? Are those your ideas, or is there actually a producer that's coming up with this stuff?
I wish I could tell you there's a producer, but for the most part, I mean, it's kind of self-produced. Myself, I work with Ben Oliver on site at all the events, but basically we just get on site, and between myself, Ben Oliver, and Mike McInnes, we'll basically call him and say, hey, we're thinking of doing this for the next hit, and if it makes sense, we do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't make sense, and I end up being somebody's little baby calf, but we still do it.
All right. Talk about the Toyota Bassmaster Texas Fest, what your impressions were on it. You were involved with the tournament in the past, the TTBC, and so, you know, you have a unique perspective on it, but what was your overall impression on how it went getting the Bassmaster treatment?
I've been involved with what was previously the TTBC, the Toyota Texas Bass Classic, and this is the next evolution of it. And it really has been cool to see that event grow to what it is. But the coolest part is that catch, weigh, and release. And I really think that as an industry, we need to commend the folks from Toyota Texas Bass Classic, from Texas Parks and Wildlife, Dave Terry, and everybody that came up with that concept, because I agree with it. And of all people in the industry, really, I should be fighting to say, don't change weigh-ins. Leave them the same the way they are, because it makes my job easier. I mean, you bring five fish, it's never decided until that moment. But I really think that the most important thing outside of any sponsors or anything is our resource. And they're making an effort to make that resource better. And it's very cool. I mean, you still see fish. I think for the majority of people, they come to the weigh-in to see our anglers, you know, to see what they're saying. I mean, because, and if you argue that fact, then explain Orange, Texas to me. I mean, we go to Orange, Texas, and there's 10 to 15,000 people in the crowd every single day. And I think the biggest bag of fish we've ever had weighed there was 14 pounds or 15 pounds.
Right.
So our crowd should be twice as big when we're in Okeechobee if they come to see the fish. I think they come to see the anglers, and it's a really cool concept and a way to get around, you know, immediately releasing those fish, but still having fish for people to see. And at this event, those fish were over 21 inches. The original event was held on Lake Fork, and that's the reason they did this technique, because on Lake Fork, the slot limit's between 16 and 24. There's no way to have a professional tournament there. So basically, they turned it into a pro paper tournament.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, and I've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, that these scales are not, you know, ridiculously expensive. I think they're about $80, you know, or so, and they're very, very accurate. We've seen them used in other formats. We saw it used in the bracket deal last year, which was fascinating, and they'll do again this year. But I wonder how it could be incorporated into so many club level, team level, you know, the ABA is one of our sponsors, you know, their kind of tournaments. I wonder if there's a way to incorporate that, because you're not going to have a judge out there. You know, you're not going to have somebody that is a moderator. But it would be really neat to see that happen, because I'd like to see, because that's where, you know, there's thousands of people fishing tournaments, and it really puts a little bit of a lean on the resource.
Yeah, and Texas Parks and Wildlife will be the first one to tell you, they're not saying this is the way tournaments should always be. They're just saying in the right situation, it makes a lot of sense. You know, post-spawn or in the summer when the fish are a little weaker and, you know, that live well ride may, you know, cause some issues. you know, it makes a lot of sense. Or, like you said, in some of the smaller tournaments, especially when they don't have the proper live release systems and that sort of thing, I think it makes total sense. And I mean, I guess off the top of my head, the first thought is the easiest way to implement it would be, you know, a team draw or you know, a voter against voter draw type deal, because then your competitor could actually weigh the fish on the water. I mean, I don't think we'd want to get into a situation where teams were weighing their own fish, because I don't know if you realize this, but sometimes anglers are not the most honest people.
No.
So, but definitely it makes a ton of sense. And you think about it, of any of those tournaments where you don't have a live release system set up or a live release boat to properly distribute the fish, there's no better way than distribute them than just release them right back into the environment you caught them from.
Right. All right, Dave Mercer with us. Dave, last minute, but you're the king of the one-minute report, you know, the old facts of fishing minute updates. We all know about that. So give us a good, solid 60 seconds on Dardanelle. Give us a little preview of what we're going to see there.
Raindrops keep falling on my head. I don't know how they're going to catch them because the water's so high, but they are the best anglers in the world, and I can guarantee you they will catch them. It's amazing that they're catching them there. It's going to be very, very different than it has been in the past. And more like, if you want to look at footage that's going to be more similar to what we're going to see, go back and look at the Dardanelle win from Mark Menendez a number of years ago. Water was super, super high there, and that's what these anglers are going to be dealing with. It amazes me. Being from up north, I mean, I want clear water. I want that fish to be able to see the bait. It is going to be dirty, dirty water and very, very high. But you're definitely going to want to look into a lot of those guys that do very well in those situations. You know, definitely a Jason Christie, definitely, you know, a Mark Menendez, definitely a Greg Hackney. Guys like that do well in those situations are going to be where you're going to lean to, because this is going to be a tournament under adverse conditions. And that kind of is the fitting thing of the season. Every single lake we've hit this year, we've definitely hit it, and it's been so much different than what everyone expected going into it, and Dardanelle is not going to change that. It's going to be much different than you would have expected 2 months ago when it was announced, but they're still going to catch it.
Dave Mercer has been our guest. Dave, let's do this again sometime, man.
Anytime you want. I love it. I don't like any of those other radio shows, but yours is my favorite.
That's because it's Bassmaster Radio, and we're getting paid by the same people, so let's be honest about that.
That's a valid point.
That's a good point, yeah. All right, appreciate you, and we'll talk again.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll wrap it up. A Fantasy Focus segment with Scott Morris is next. I'm Tom Abraham. This is Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. The Bassmaster Elite Series is coming to Russellville, Arkansas. Come watch the best bass anglers in the world weigh in their catch from Lake Dardanelle. And while you're there, explore the free outdoor expo and interactive display. There'll be free boat demos, prizes, giveaways, and more. It's fun for the whole family. Be at the GoPro Bassmaster Elite, presented by Econo Lodge, June 2nd through 5th at Lake Dardanelle State Park. Expo opens at noon on Saturday and Sunday. Visit Bassmaster.com for details. Are you looking for a great weekend tournament fishing experience? Well, visit AmericanBassAnglers.com for the latest on the nation's number one grassroots fishing tours. The ABA features several circuits, including the American Fishing Tour, one-day events close to home. The ABA also has the Open Series with 16 divisions around the country and a $5,000 guaranteed first place. For team tournaments, check out the 100% Plus Team Tour and even the Couples Tour. All events lead to the Ray Scott Championships as well. Learn more at AmericanBassAnglers.com.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over half a million outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament. Hosted by Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and former Bassmaster Classic champion Davey Height. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer, plus special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Streaming on Bassmaster.com, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time, and simulcast on ESPN3.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back. Final segment of Bassmaster Radio here on the SB Nation Radio Network. I want to thank Dave Mercer for his very entertaining interview. And I remind you that coming up on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central on ESPN2, it'll be the Bassmaster Elite Series Winning Ways. That's right. You can catch highlights from Jacob Wheeler's win at Cherokee Lake, Tim Horton's win at Okeechobee, John Murray's win at Toledo Bend, and Jordan Lee's Lake Conroe Classic victory, all on Winning Ways with in-depth interviews as well with the winning anglers. That's Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Joining us now, as he always does for our fantasy segment, it is the one and only Scott Morris. Scott, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. Doing great, buddy.
No pressure on you, but Brandon Polinick and Dave Mercer were outstanding. So, you know, you better bring me something good here this segment for our guys.
Boy, they're good. They're good people.
They are good people. And, of course, coming off of a very exciting win for Brandon Polinick, it was almost a 100-pound tournament. He said that if he had executed properly, it would have been a 100-pound tournament at Sam Rayburn. The boys now head to Dardanelle in Arkansas for next weekend's event. So it's our chance to put together our fantasy teams here. And I don't know about you, I'm doing pretty good on the season. I'm in the 74th percentile, which I think means that my score is better than 74% of the folks. So I'm feeling pretty good about, you know, how I'm doing here. I want to get into that, you know, top 80% or something like that.
Well, that's good. That's a lot better than I'm doing. I'm in the like 50%. So you can tell I'm doing great.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at this thing. Dardanelle is high. It's very similar to some of the waters that you fish around Tennessee and in the Mid-South right now because there's been so much rain. It's going to be muddy. It's stained. I know you like to call it color in the water. I call it muddy. So I'm looking for muddy water fishermen. And I'm going to go right now. Jason Christie's having such a great, great season. Out of Group A, I'm going to kick it off with Jason Christie. He's getting 27% of the vote. I'll go with that. Otto Foe getting 13.8%. Kevin Van Dam is always going to get a big chunk. He's getting 10%. I'm going Jason Christie. What do you got?
Hey, that's a good pick. That's actually what I had. But since you've got Jason, let's go with standby. I'm going to pick Kevin Van Dam.
All right. Well, that's it. Look, going with King Kong is never a bad thing, you know. And so that would be an excellent selection as well. All right. In Group B here, this is an interesting group. Randall Tharp getting 15% right now of the vote. A lot of people like Randall. Ish Monroe getting 5.5%. Gerald Swindle out of Warrior, Alabama, getting almost 31% of the picks right now. But I'm going Mike McClellan, Arkansas guy, getting about 13%. I'll take Mike McClellan.
Great pick. I'm going with Gerald Swindle.
Yeah. Well, take the chalk there. That's not a bad idea. He's a good dirty water angler. Speaking of dirty water anglers in Group C, you know, Mike Iaconelli, he grew, you know, it's grown up fishing the Delaware River and, you know, all of that kind of stuff up there. Good junk fisherman. And I like him here. He's getting almost 29%. I'm on him there. Aaron Martin out of Leeds is at 19%. Cliff Crochet, I like him as well. He is getting just under 12%, but I'm taking Ike.
Hey, that's a great pick. I think it's time for Jacob Poroznik to do something, yeah. So I'm going to go with Jacob.
I like that pick. That's a very solid pick. He's getting 4.9%, and if that guy comes through, he's had a top 12 so far this year, and if Poroznik comes through, you know, that'll gain ground on a lot of guys, that's for sure. All right, in Group D, Steve Kennedy's getting 13%. Stephen Browning's getting 14%. This group may be the most well-balanced one out there. Stetson Blaylock is getting 13%. But a guy that's not getting a lot of love, it's a guy that won at Dardanelle. Mark Menendez out of Paducah, Kentucky. He's only got 4% of the vote. He's got my vote, though, now.
That's a great pick. You know, I kind of like Tommy Biffle in the shallow water situation, mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Tommy.
He's getting 5.3% of the vote. So, again, a couple of guys that were swinging for the fences when you go down the list like that a little bit. So those would be certainly very strong picks. Now, this is a very interesting group, this Group E. Justin Lucas is getting 38% of the vote on this deal so far. I'm going to go in a little bit of a different angle here. I'm thinking muddy water. I'm thinking spinnerbaits, old school, a lot of flash. I'm taking the vet. I'm not going to call him the old man. I'm going to say the vet. Out of Ava, Missouri, I'm taking old Rick Klun. He's getting 8.1% of the vote, and I'm on Rick Klun here.
That's a great pick. I kind of initially thought I was going to pick Rick, but I'm gonna kind of go out of the box here, and I think it's time for Chris Lane to do something. So I'm gonna go with Chris.
You know, that was gonna be my pick. Chris was gonna be my pick, and Chris has had an awful season, but he kind of got it going a little bit at Sam Rayburn, and you know, I wonder whether or not he's getting into a little bit of a groove. We had Chris on the show last week, and you know, he got it turned around a little bit, pointed in the right direction at least. At Sam Rayburn, so it'll be interesting to see how he does there. I don't know where you're at for weight on this deal. I don't remember what Menendez. I didn't look it up what his winning weight was there, but I'm thinking that this is going to be consistent bags between 15 and 19 pounds. I'm going with about 62, 63 pounds to win this deal.
Yeah, I for my tiebreaker, I went with 68.8 is what I went with.
So you're going a little.
So we're pretty close on that one.
Yeah, so a little bit heavier than me on that deal. All right, should be a great tournament as always, and you know, a tremendous job. I wish you luck. I hope you come in second, and you're looking up at me on this deal, Scott. What can I tell you, man?
Well, it's going to be more likely, Tommy. It's going to be a frog bite. It's going to be shallow willow grass, high pressure lake sometimes. But if you get the weather in there and the way the conditions are, sometimes you can combat that high-pressure situation. So we'll see what happens.
Scott, it's always a pleasure, man. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Tom. Thanks, buddy.
Scott Morris. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, make sure you keep those lines tight and those nets heavy. This has been Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.